I just wanted to make, I hope this is okay, but I wanted just to make a comment. I was very moved last Sunday when just a few folks came up and just thanked the Lord for dear Norman. And I know that there would have been many in sat here that could have just said something. And I was sat there, and then I just had a little bit of time to reflect. And I can remember I had stomach issues for many years growing up in my early 20s, and it was just must have been a time that I must have learnt something. I don't know what it is, but I really suffered from, and I used to go around asking people to pray for me when it got really bad. You know, we often run to the Lord when it gets really bad, but sometimes he wants us to run to him when things are going well. But anyway, I really suffered, and I remember at a conference and a New Year's conference, and Norman had spoken, and after the service I said, "Oh, Norman, would you just pray for me? My stomach was, you know." So I stood there, and he got his, I wasn't expecting it, but he got his arm and he said, "Come here," and he got his arm and he put his hand down my top like this, and I was there a little bit, and he just put his hand on my stomach and prayed. And then I felt, in the evening, I felt a little bit worse. But you'll know where I'm going with it. He said these words that Marg said last week. He said to me, "I will continually pray for you." And do you know what? I then realized that the Lord had used this life so amazingly because it was just so continued in his presence. He was willing to pray for me. And then after that, I believe the Lord did touch my body because of the faithfulness of a servant that would continually pray. We must be encouraged. Marg said it last week when he said the same words to her, and he said the same to me. And I don't know if I made it into that little book that he had of names, people to pray for, but I know that he did continue to pray. And I just reminded of that passage in Luke 17 with the lepers. And actually one of them came back, didn't he? And he said, he told them all to go. I wrote it down here. He said, "Go and be clean. Go and show yourself to the priest." It was on that little journey that they were healed. Healing does have a process often. We do look for an instant touch, and the Lord does do that, but sometimes he tells us then to just go and do, get on with something. And in that time there, the Lord can touch hearts and heal us. And I just wanted to say it. I was so encouraged. And then straight after being prayed for, often, I'm not sure if you noticed, but Norman would be very quick to go and help put the chairs away. So he would say a message, but he'd also live it after. And that was serving. Rushing in, picking chairs up. And I don't want to go into a eulogy, but I just coming from a thankful heart this morning. And in the message this morning about Jude, it's about false teachers that are actually out there now within groups of people that believe. I don't want to alarm you, but that's very true. I am just so thankful that we've had people that have just consistently shared the gospel, Christ, Christ and Christ. From a young boy just being under that there, it brings a stability to your life. Is that true for you? Just so very thankful. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. I think the last 2 years of what we've gone through with COVID, I think there's almost been a heightening of those that are disappearing into listening to things that are actually taking over their lives too much. Come back to the Word. It's real. Come back to analog church. Can I say that? I read a book called Analog Church. Many go to church digitally, so they just basically listen to a message online, but then, and those messages, you'll probably hear a lot better message from you here this morning from here. If you click on YouTube, there's some superb ones out there. But one of the missing ingredients about that often is that you don't actually know how that life is being lived. And I thank the Lord for men and women in our local church that have said a message, but their lives live it. You can have the greatest sermon, and I'm not against this. It's a lifeline to many, having online church sometimes. But I think the Lord's bringing it back into an analogue place where you have to be face to face. And what message you hear, you can see that the person's living it. During the summer, I was just going through the book of James, and I'm not sure if I really came to an end of it. But James's brother is Jude, so I thought, well, let's try and tackle Jude. It's really good to give yourself homework, you know. Great to hear this morning about loving to read the Word. And that should be for all of us, isn't it? It does feed. And I've just been going through Jude, and it is not an easy book. Can I put my hands up? It's not an easy book. But if you get stuck into it, you can get some things from it. And I just want to take you through Jude. It starts here. And one thing I noticed about Jude, when you go through it, and it's only just one chapter, you can even just cover it maybe this afternoon, you know, lovely afternoon reading. Straight in there with Jude. I didn't hear much of a... No, seriously, it's a really good... It's actually, when you hear the word beware in the Bible, it's actually saying to Christians, no, this is, you've got to take this seriously. And false teachers, false prophets, there is a sense in which it's beware. Why, you know, the picture of the wolf and the lamb, they're, you know, in sheep's clothing. Basically, it's beware, they can be amongst us. And I don't want to kind of cause a big panic, but I think it's a responsibility to actually know what is out there. And I've actually done a fair bit of homework on, and it's so easy to do. You click on Google search false teachers, man alive. I did one the other day, and this list came up of people. And in some ways, I did a bit of homework. And one thing that really hit my heart straight away was that many wouldn't even open this to start with. They wouldn't open this. And I had not really heard any scripture or anything just prompted. Much of it was almost things that had just been learnt. And I kind of felt a little bit after hearing it, oh man, I'm not really sure what was the message there. So I'm just encouraging you this morning, we all can read this for ourselves. Anyway, let's just start. Hannah's read these scriptures. Often when you go through Jude, I realise that the things come in threes. And if you just look in the first verse, it says, to those who are called, sanctified, and preserved in Jesus Christ. I love that word, preserved. If there's a theme to Jude, it's the word kept. Some people have different versions, but there is a theme to it, kept. We are amazingly kept. Next little three things. Mercy, peace and love be multiplied to you. Amazing. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning the common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which is once and for all delivered to the saints. Just a little bit about Jude. I was thinking, I think he was getting ready to write this letter about the common salvation. I think he was right, raring to go. It was going to be a letter that was going to encourage the saints to keep going. We're all going okay. The Lord delivered an amazing salvation for us all. And then he got stopped in his tracks. While I was very diligent to write to you concerning your comments, I found it necessary to write to you about another message. And that was about things creeping into the church. What was it that was creeping in? Now, one of the biggest things that I find, and I find it very hard to understand, if we just go down a few verses into verse 4, it says this, certain men have crept in unnoticed,
I think I had in my notes here what that, just almost another little description about creeping in. They sneak in stealthily. They sneak in stealthily. Our guards do have to be up. And it says this, they turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the biggest thing for me, it's the denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've just celebrated and had communion now, remembering the Lord's death and resurrection and he's coming back again. There's a sense in which there is like a teaching out there that can actually deny that there, almost soften it, almost take it away, and it's really hit home to me. I will leave this message with an upbeat thing, okay? I can sense a little bit that it's a bit, but in some ways when they say beware, it's like we've got to be tuned in to what's being said out there. And even here, Lord, in my own heart, I don't want to soften things down. Dead easy. Maybe bring a message that will just, dare I say it, a message of accommodation, where basically you bring a message along that we've that accommodates our own life and the way we want to live. The Lord doesn't want that. Now, contend earnestly for your faith. What does that mean? If you go through Scripture, I don't know if you find it like me, and I'd recommend it, but find out what some of the phrases mean, okay? And this thing about contending earnestly for your faith, I was just reading about how does that look in our lives day for day? And it gives this kind of a picture of an athlete. And there's almost the strenuous activity of an athlete when they're doing some sort of event or some sort of sport, okay? And this actually does give the same picture. It says contend for your faith. You have to put some effort in. And this morning we've heard a little bit about the word. It does, sometimes there's effort, isn't there? Does anyone find it hard sometimes in the morning getting up and doing a bit of a read? Bit of time. I've seen some heads nodding. There's a lot of people that, I know you can hide behind your mask, but you know. But it can be hard. Prayer time, it can get a little bit. There's, in some ways, you've got to contend with your faith. There is some sort of strenuous effort that we have to put in place. Sometimes it's just that journey down to work where you just 5 minutes. Lord, for this day, thank you for your mercies. That song earlier on. Each morning, just remember the Lord's mercies. There's a great start for us. So there's a strenuous effort like an athlete in a contest. The next one, there's a mental effort to understand his word. If you're a little bit of a simple fella that maybe kind of failed at school on many academic levels, you really need the Lord and his Holy Spirit to bring a bit of understanding to what you're reading. And he can and he does. Isn't that true? Without it, it becomes quite dead-like. But with some unction of the Spirit, he brings to life words. See, some of the songs that I sung this morning, just a word, and it takes you to a place of saying, oh Lord, thank you. His mercies each day, they surround us. Isn't that true? Wonderful mercy, his faithfulness to the saints. To those that we think they don't deserve repentance, he's kind of slipped back again. It's the Lord that rushes in with compassion. Wonderful Lord, mental effort to understand the word. Here's another one, moral effort to apply our understanding to an everyday behaviour. One of the things that kind of in what I said earlier on, that you could hear an incredible YouTube message this morning from across the world, but in actual fact, sometimes you don't know how that person's living. And I just think it's wonderful, analog church, that you can actually, dare I say it, listen to something, what people say, and then you just, we're living it together, aren't we? In all our different environments, workplaces, colleagues, wonderful. Takes moral effort. Sometimes we do need to wake up in the morning and give this thing a little bit of a slap. maybe some cold water. I've had it recently, started feeling sorry for myself. You know, different work pressures come in. Sometimes it's like you have to stop in your tracks and say, Lord, oh, there's hope. Can't wait to ditch this thing that goes around here, but just for the time being. Paul was in his chains, wasn't he? Did he get a bit gloomy in there? I don't think he did. Amazing things happened in that cell, didn't it? Anyway, I don't want to get controversial. Oh Lord. Well, they've crept in unnoticed. This means they've snuck in. And then it goes into another part and it describes of how the Lord brought the people out of Egypt, and the Lord uses different scenarios here to kind of explain his point of view. And he says three other people here, and he mentions Cain. Again, there's three. He says, woe to them, this is verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. And I tried to kind of read up a little bit about all these three people and scenarios. And one of the things that really comes to my attention is that so much of it is generated by the love of money. Money and power. And if you think about, I won't mention names, but there's a huge involvement of money within Christianity and in countries where there's a selling of money, music, and there's a huge emphasis on that there. It's a money-making business for many. And it can get very mixed up and turn into kind of quite a diluted thing, and we just have to beware of that. This is why in the last 2 years it just kind of gives you more time to think and read about what songs that you sing. Apostates. Did I know what an apostate was before reading Jude? Not sure if I did. Sorry, hold my hands up. Had to read up again. Isn't it good to do a bit of homework? Apostate. Someone that's going to start off well and then they've gone off. They have gone off the rails. Given up their faith, thrown it away. I was reading about a man that I really kind of looked up to when I was younger. He was a sportsman. His name was Jonathan Edwards. He was a triple jumper. Anyone heard of? And he used to be on, and he wouldn't actually compete on a Sunday often. He missed out winning a chance of winning one of the championships. And I just read about him, and I knew that he'd in some ways lost his faith. And I just did a bit of reading, and he said this comment. He said, this is about being an apostate. It says, in the act of refusing or continuing to follow, obey, or recognize a religious faith. And Jonathan Edwards says in his words, the 47-year-old sportsman has spoken out about his spiritual crisis, came that he does not feel happy, that he feels happier now that he doubts and believes a higher power. He says this, I don't miss my faith. In many ways, I feel more settled and happier in myself without it. And in some ways, it breaks your heart, doesn't it? It breaks your heart that there are many that do start off well, in some ways on the race, and then something comes in. And for many, it can be this kind of false teaching that comes in. But the Lord, he's there. He can bring them back. And I realise that the continuous prayer offers up so much hope, doesn't it? Let's go on, verse 12. It says, these are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water. Great descriptions. Carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea foaming up over the shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Man, this message is getting even. Okay, stay with me. These spots in your love feast. There's a description that really spoke to me about this here. I don't know if you're out on the sea with a boat, but they are the hidden rocks of the coral that can then just come and just that ship goes over the coral and it's absolute carnage. Unseen, but they can be within. Those three things of Cain, the three illustrations just before that, Cain, Balaam and Korah. And I just wrote down very briefly, but Cain was very much, he was the murderous one, wasn't he? You see the heart behind it, he was the murderous one. And then it goes on to Balaam, he was the greedy one. Much of it about this here. Money. Do you know what? I'm so blessed I don't get paid. Just going to throw that out there. Do you know what I mean? In different roles in church, I thank the Lord that there's no payment. You just get on and serve, don't you? Isn't it a healthy thing? One of the things that can creep in some of the huge churches is the money behind it. And I'll put my head on the line, I find it just so, oh, it breaks your heart, the amounts of money. And I've done a fair bit of homework, the special car parking space, the senior leaders, you know, all these different things that can just creep in and just get hold of people, and there's a defiling with it. Thank you, Lord. I'm sure that if I got paid, I'd probably get a lot more stick from the listeners. Maybe not. Greedy Balaam. Rebellious Korah. There's a rebellion in hearts, isn't there? And one key thing, it says that they are all void of the Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit. Can I recommend this? Next weekend, if it's in your heart, just pray for the weekend. Les is speaking to us along those kind of themes and lines that the Lord would speak to his people. I'm doing a very rushed thing of Jude here. Maybe can revisit again, but I want to leave some positives. Praying in the Holy Spirit edifies the believer. It says that in Corinthians, and it says, and I was just thinking about how does this fit into like our church history. Just go with me on this here, but I was thinking about, and I'm there's many people here that are probably experts on church history, and I just tried to break it down into what my thoughts were. And I was thinking, now I was kind of thinking about how church is, and it says that we've gone from, now this is like before the Reformation. Now before the Reformation, it was very much about sacraments. It was about loads of symbolized things. There was robes, very religious, the Eucharist and all those things. And then the Reformation came. This is a very, Richard will be horrified that I'm simplifying it so much. He's not here, it's fine. And then the Reformation came along and things started to change. So the sacraments started to disappear a little bit, and the robes started to, and it started to come about this thing here. And it started to come about this thing here being opened and talked about and preached. A little bit about the pulpit and the message about God wanting to bring this a wonderful gospel. And it started to change. And lives started to change. So you got two things there. And then thirdly, I started to think, well, how is it now? How is it like, what is it like now? In some ways, I'm thinking it started to become a bit of a show. It started to become a bit more of an entertainment. And it breaks my heart. I'm not going to apologise, but just doing the homework in this here, it mustn't become a show. It can become a bit of an entertainment. I could be jumping around maybe here. I'd have Helen on the piano doing some nice subtle E minor chords on the piano. That would keep you a little bit kind of in the mood. I might have a little bit of steam coming up here. Okay, so you just see like a murky picture of me here. Okay, some lights. Okay, you can tell me off after, I don't mind. I've seen it, I've done the homework. And it's not about that. It's not. It's about sometimes just confessing some very awkward words to the Lord and praising Him. And your words come out wrong. He's there. He, as Matt said earlier, He embraces that. He wants it more from His people. Not an entertainment of a polished sermon, of polished worship. And I have different thoughts about worship. I'm convinced that the most powerful worship is wordless. If you think about the cross, the Lord barely spoke some words on that cross, but it was the most ultimate, for me, form of worship on that cross. We've made it that we sell hundreds of CDs with the words on it, worship. Wordless. That wonderful act of worship on the cross. Wonderful Lord. Here's some positives. 10 minutes, okay, let's get to verse 20. And this is really about the main message in my Bible. It says here, maintain your life with God. Okay, this is a maintenance manual now. In my workplace, when a machine goes wrong, we have to fill out a form, and it says you have to do a description of what's wrong with it. So we have these scanners, we have these 3D printers, milling machines. That's just making teeth. Can you believe it? Okay, so when the machine goes wrong, we have to fill out a form and say what's wrong with it. It goes off and then it gets repaired. And I started to think, well, isn't that a little bit... Why don't we have a manual where you actually service the machines first, so it may actually stop you filling out the form for the maintenance deal? Does that make sense? So anyway, I suggested it, you know. It may not go very far. But this now is Jude's almost maintenance manual, okay? This is how we get and stay clear of any false teaching, false prophets that come in, maybe messages that you hear sometimes, okay? It says this here, but you, I love the thing when it starts, almost like a fresh canvas, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. This morning, I felt built up. Have you? It does take a little bit of effort, okay? Sometimes we attend church and we're waiting for some fast juggernaut of a train to come, or some expression in the cloud, maybe some steam to come up. It's not often. It's this thing of like, I engage with you, Lord. Heard it from our sister, the Lord spoke to us. Come, wasn't it? Praying in the Holy Spirit. I used to ask when I was younger, so what does it mean when you pray not in the Holy Spirit? Can you pray not in the Holy Spirit? The Lord hears your heart. Can I do a real generalised copping out of that one? The Lord hears our heart, doesn't He? Pray. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What does that mean? Well, when you know that you are loved, you can respond in love. Sometimes you don't know that you're loved. The Lord loves you. When you know that you are loved, you will respond in love. If you have a contention with someone, an argument, imagine that if you're in the love of God, you can respond in love. Isn't that true? It can be the great diffuser in situations. Oh, the love of God. Right, this maintenance manual. Here we go, I've written a little list down. These are all in these verses here, okay? Are you still with me? Still there, a couple minutes. Okay, number one, build yourselves up in the faith. Build yourself up in faith. Number two, pray in the Holy Spirit. Number three, keep yourselves in the love of God. Sometimes some things will come along when you actually consciously have to do something that keeps yourself in the love of God. It could be talking truth to a friend. It could be maybe something to do with a relationship. Sometimes you have to consciously keep yourself rooted and firm in the love of God. Number four, look towards Christ's return. Do you know why we do communion at the end of it sometimes? It's that thing, if we are doing it until the Lord returns. We're proclaiming it. It's proclaiming until the Lord returns. That's wonderful, isn't it? Okay. Number five. Practice mercy towards doubters. Practice mercy towards doubters. If you're working and I work in a place where they know how I live and they know what I live for, but I know in some ways in our conversations they still doubt, I know that I must practice mercy. I must keep listening to them. They'll have another moan about it. Why do you do that? Oh, just show them mercy. And it's God's mercy. Practice mercy towards doubters. Number six, share your faith with unbelievers. Share your faith with unbelievers. Is that easy in this generation now? No. Honest answer? I would say just positively, but if you have just the very simple things in your life of just a quiet time with the Lord, feeding on Him, listening to Him, reading the Word and praying, from that place can flow just a very simple thing. He will quicken something in your conversation with someone, and He can also quicken just the way you behave. Do you know, one of the things that I realised is that your language is key in your workplaces. I sometimes hear language of Christians and I'm like, that's no better than the people I work with. I'm shocked. Because what I've realised is that when you work with people, one of the things that grabs their attention very quickly is that you do not swear. It's one of the things that generates a conversation about faith, is that I do not swear. Now if I use some language that is very similar to them, I'm no different, but there's no conversation starter. Oh, you're like us. It's one of the things, and I got so much grief for it, but in actual fact, it's a real great conversational starter. Just keep your language. If it's from deep within here, it'll be clean. But there can be a defiling. There can be a temptation to use language that does, in actual fact, it doesn't. It's not good. It's just something that I've learned just in a simple way. And it can be the same for lads, maybe in a football team environment where the language can be quite fruity. In those kind of environments too, these young lads pray for our young people, that when they're in these sport, football clubs, rugby and activities, that their language just, their heart just keeps clean. Precious ones, because it's in that there that can actually conversation can start. Am I making sense? We overlook the very simple things that we use. The language, maybe it's the language of love, but it's language that's just clean. Don't accuse me of being some sort of Puritan. It's just very simple, isn't it? That our tongues just would be seasoned with that sort of grace, you know? Time's going. Share your faith with unbelievers. Number seven, be merciful and keep your distance. And it says in my Bible, it says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. That's quite an interesting one. Do you know what? You can absolutely get burnt out if you in some ways give compassion to kind of on every situation without just a prompting of the Lord's Spirit. You can get burnt out yourself. I read something recently that there was a high percentage, it's nearly 60% of those that have sent out on the mission field from the Billy Graham mission, within 2 years were back again. Burnt out. Now one of the things is that they may not have been the right people called to go on that. That's a huge percentage. Let the Lord guide in us the Spirit, and he will show who to have compassion on. Make a distinction. There are some that will actually grab your attention, which sometimes they're deceiving. And number 8, final one, hate all sin. Sin, a word that's not used very much now in many messages. Many of the new songs that we sing, often it's kind of, sin would be changed for struggle, or my baggage, or my, you know, sin is sin. Coming to the end. Finish, here's a little doxology. Anyone know what a doxology is? Blessing. Jude has a little doxology at the end. Let's just read it. I'll read it out to you. It says this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What does amen mean? So be it. It's true. This is true. So when you say amen at the end, it's like, these are the true words of God. I wanted to leave it with a bit of a positive. I'm not doing the whole thing where key the music to come on now. It's not. This is true. It's wonderful. The Lord. Says just at the end, the dominion and power. I just looked up, what is it? What is it about this power? And this power, in some ways, it kind of gets described in Greek as almost a word that can be used for like dynamite. I was thinking, wow, that is. There is something about the power of God that has a dynamite to it. Sometimes we need it in our lives. Can I put my hand up and say there are times that I've needed some dynamite under my chair to get me going again? Don't know if you're the same. Excuse me a minute. If you can do it, but the Lord does it very gently. He uses dynamite. He knows how you're doing. He knows your circumstances, and he just comes and just every so often, a little bit of a rocket, yeah, and just going again. And do you know what? Amazing thing is, when you're with the saints doing analog church, yeah, face to face, we actually help each other. Amazing. Going to come to an end. I'll finish there. But oh, let me just read this now. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling. There's a great power that can help us from stumbling. He gives us always a chance to get out from temptations. And present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I believe the Lord. No, I won't say it. No. To God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Oh, there's great hope, isn't there? Should we just respond to the Lord? I know it's been a real whistle-stop tour through Jude, but there is a sense in which we have to be aware of what we hear, what is actually going through, what we listen to. And we just need, again, to face the Lord ourselves. So I'll just pray for us as a group. I'm thinking of the youngsters at this time as well. That as they contend with their faith in their different situations, we can help. Lord. Lord, thank you that we can have, Lord, a wonderful peace in knowing you, Lord. But with it, Lord, there is contentions along the way, Lord, where we have to contend for our faith, Lord. Thank you that we've just read there about you'll cease us from stumbling, but Lord, Even when we stumble, your hands are there to catch and place back up again. Thank you for the place that you have for us in your church. If we feel very, Lord, unworthy or pretty useless, thank you that you come and whisper and say, no, I've set you in this body. And I pray that for everyone in the room here this morning, they would know your hand upon their lives. Lord, I pray for the youngsters out in the various groups, Lord, as they contend for their faith as they grow, that they would know that you have hands that are holding on to them, Lord. Precious Lord. Lord, we love you. And we just respond to you. I just open it up. If anyone wants to pray, you can pray before we finish, Lord.